God. Ephesians. Now, we're going to read chapter 6, and I'll start reading at verse 12, and then we'll home in on our text that you see up here tonight. Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Anybody wrestling tonight? Does anybody here know that you have an enemy? It didn't take 5 minutes of service to get around and know Judy and David's slugging it out with the devil. Amen. Many of you are encountering, you know what I'm talking, it's no different. In Georgia, we found out that there's a real devil fighting Christ Church. Would love to defeat it, but he can't. I said, but he can't. In Germantown, there's a real devil fighting the Lord's Church, trying to defeat individuals, but he cannot as long as we stay in the Word. Amen. Thank God. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand." How many wants to withstand the onslaught? You don't want to be a loser, do you? Any losers here tonight? Anybody enjoy being beat up with, stolen from? I don't think so. I don't think so. Amen. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Because every fiery dart, put whatever name that you want on it. Put whatever name that you want on it, and it has to do in some way with unbelief. Sure it does. You say, "No, my problem's not unbelief. My problem is whatever it is. It is unbelief." Why does people do all kinds of crazy stuff to themselves? As far as, I mean, weirdest get-ups. Put tattoos all over themselves, pierce. Wherever they can stick something through noses, eyelids, ears, and just pierce your body and change hair colors every week why is that? Because it comes from unbelief, that you do not believe that God loves you like you are. I want Ed to be Ed. He don't need to be nobody else. I don't want him to come in Sunday with his hair dyed all jet black and combed back trying to look like Elvis. I just want him to be Ed. Amen. Just be Ed. I like Ed. Amen. And you name whatever it is. When somebody tears down other people, you know what it is? It is an unbelief that they have acceptance with the Lord. And because they don't feel accepted in the beloved, they want to destroy or tear down or pull other people down because everybody seems to be getting ahead of them, and so they spend their time tearing people down. It's unbelief. See, when you really know who you are in the Lord, it don't make no difference what somebody else does. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so you understand what I'm saying here. And so that's why he said, above all, take the shield of faith. Because when you have Bible faith, it quenches how many of the darts? All of them. All of them. When we start getting wounded, you're going to love this. It's a good sign we need our faith worked on. Hallelujah. All right. Let's hurry. Because I can see you ain't going to get with me on that anyway. All right. That is a shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And now our text here, verse 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation. Up to this time, everything has been to protect you. Okay? Are y'all with me on that? Helmets, breastplates, girdles, leather girdle round, feet shot, everything. Every bit of it. Every bit of it is to protect you. But now he said, and the sword of the Spirit. Now that's not to protect you. That's to put the hurt on the enemy. I said it's to put the hurt on the enemy. You got yourself all protected up. And then lastly, he puts in your hand an offensive weapon. Okay? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now remember that. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, here we go. I want to talk to you about offensive weapons using the Word of God. First, let's talk about the misconception. Here is the misconception. Probably every one of us has been through this. That the sword, okay? How many of you, now I don't like to trap people because then they quit on you and they won't ever answer you when you're not tricking them. So I won't ask it to trap you or trick you. But how many of you have ever heard somebody say, I got my sword, and hold their Bible up? Do y'all remember when I know these bunch don't, because you're gonna think this is wild, young people. But when this bunch, or a biggest part of them, was little, was young, we'd have a Saturday night youth service or a Wednesday night youth service, and sometimes they would say, because this was like exciting, all right now, we're going to have our sword drill. Anybody remember that? No? Thank God. Yeah, okay. We're going to have our sword drill now. Okay? We're going to have our sword drill. This will be my youth group up here. Okay, here was how you did it. Okay? All right. Get ready. I want John 10:10. We're having a sword drill. John 10:10. Okay, you see, they knew how to do it. All right, go, Jay. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so you would do a portion of the service. And we called that our sword drill because this is the sword. Well,
This, the entire Word of God. Now, in the New Testament, there's two words, Greek words, used where the English is the Word. One is logos and the other is rhema. Logos means the entire Word of God. The entire book right here. This whole thing. That's the logos. That is the complete mind and will of God. Amen? I said this is the complete mind and will of God. Okay? Then here is the misconception. And please don't... I understand that the Lord... How many understands that the Lord blesses us sometimes even when we're ignorant? I mean, if He hadn't blessed me over top of my ignorance and through my ignorance, I just wouldn't be blessed. I mean, He just does. He works with us. Hello? But I've made some of these statements in the past my own self. Now, not to the degree I'm gonna, but of what I've heard, but there's been times in prayer when I just got the Word, the Logos, this Bible, some Bible. And I've just held on to it while I was praying and held on to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've had preachers or heard preachers say, get your Bible and hold it out and say, now, devil, get behind. And like the Bible, this book, holding it out, is somehow going to intimidate the devil. I've heard them say, what you need to do is when you get under attack, just go put your hand on your Bible and rub around on almost, that's almost juju. Really, I mean, that borders on mysticism. And I've been in meetings where they threw a Bible on the ground and said, now stand on the Word of God. And physically, somebody would step up on the Bible and stand there while they were praying. Well, I want to tell you, none of those things will do you much good at all. And I know that I've heard great messages where somebody told about a house burning down and everything in it was burned except there was one Bible that was on the coffee table and for some reason the Bible didn't burn and the family carries that one Bible around like it's some kind of... And really they make an icon out of it and that is never the will of God. See, because it's not a certain book. It's not a certain Bible. It's not, and I know that I have some that, like my Bible I had, the first Bible I ever got, I've still got it. I wouldn't trade that off for nothing. It's not for sale. My first preaching Bible I've got in my office, it's not for sale. Wouldn't trade it off. But there's nothing magical about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the misconception is to take this and people that never read their Bible and people that do not have it in their heart, people that can't, never get a hold of a verse, but they say, well, I've got my sword, devil. Well, you can wave all of the black back books at the devil that you want to, but he is not intimidated by a book. And if you want to go home and see what I'm preaching tonight is the truth, just go home and research it. The misconception is that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the entire book or logos, that is not your sword. Do you know what the definition is? The definition for word here is rhema. And I just put this in here for you to look at. It means an utterance individually, collectively, or specifically. By implication, a matter or topic, especially of narration, command, or dispute, with a negative not whatever, plus evil, plus nothing, saying word. It literally means a word. Now, this is what I'm telling you in this verse. This is my quote here. A word from the Word dealing with a specific subject. Rhema is when the Lord takes a portion of His Word and breathes it into your spirit, and it pertains to a particular subject, and it becomes alive to you. It's no more just printed ink on fine, thin paper. It's no more just a book that's got your genealogy and your family history in it. It's no more than it becomes much more than the talisman that didn't get burned up when the house got burned up. And I know that kind of story sounds really good to us and makes us feel all queasy inside, but I'm not interested so much in you feeling queasy inside or warm and fuzzy inside, is I want you to have in your hand something that will destroy the enemy that is attacking you. I want you to have something that specifically you can leave this service and go back to the daily grind that you are in. And when you come under attack, you've got something you can pull out of the sheath of your heart and use it skillfully. Amen. Like a swordsman to destroy and cut asunder the devil that is attacking you. Amen. So, it's a word from the Word dealing with a specific subject. So Paul said here, after you got the helmet of salvation, that's the last defensive thing, then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God, a word for a specific case or point in time. Now, when I say that, Sister Sharon, he may give you a Rhema 2 weeks ago. That doesn't mean that is only yours, and Sister June may not get that same Rhema this week. And Sister Janice may not get it next week or next hour after June gets it. It does not mean that it is only specific for her case and nobody else's. It is just simply when God, by His Spirit, opens up that verse and you grab a hold of it and you understand there is your sword for this problem. All right? Now, let's talk about the offensive use of a Rhema word. Okay? Here we go. Number one, how do I get a Rhema for my situation? Pray in the Spirit. Did you notice what he said in verse 18 to follow up on this? It is not a different thought. He enlarges on this thought on outfitting a warrior. And in verse 18 he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You watch for it while you're making supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, and you have perseverance. That means you don't quit the first time you pray. It means you don't stop. I'll come back to that in a minute. And you also, even while you are making intercession for other saints, the Spirit of the Lord is birthing in you a Rhema, a sword for your particular problem. Okay, so pray in the Spirit, Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. Remember what I said. The darts that are being thrown at you are quenched by the shield of faith because they are negative. They are unbelief. They tear down the Word of God. They cast disparaging remarks and thoughts against the Word of God, the shield of faith. And so to remain an unwounded warrior, your faith has got to be built up. And so how do we do that? And to get a sword, our faith has got to be built up. How do we do that? Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so let's take and say tonight that I am a soldier and I'm under attack. Now, Tiffany, come here. Roger, I saw Roger. Roger, you come here. And one more. One more. Let's see. One more. Heather, you come here. Come on up here. together, I want you to stand right here. Turn around, face me. And I want you to hold this. Okay? Tiffany, I want you to stand up here and hold this just like that. And Roger. Okay, now, let me just illustrate this a way that I can illustrate it, okay? And I'll try to help you understand. Let's say I was going quail hunting. Does everybody know what bobwhite quail are? Little bird, and they... Yeah, there's some in here. Now, when you quail hunt, quail, number one, they come up like when you step on them. And they fly so fast and furious, they will scare the bejeepers out of you. And they're not big, they're a little bird about the size of my hand right here. And they fly 690 miles an hour. At least the ones I shoot at do, because I can't hit them. And so it's like a rocket, except maybe 20 rockets going off at your feet and shooting out, and you're trying to bag them so you can have... Us men got tough jobs, but we got to put food on the table. Okay. Now, I said, okay, I'm going quail hunting. And so I come over here to Heather, and I say, Heather, I see you've got a pistol, a case there, and so I think I'll take a pistol. And I go out here. Now, a pistol is a short little handheld weapon, has a short barrel, and is very inaccurate at any kind of distance. And it shoots one little bullet, depending on what size you have, but it has one little bullet that comes out of it. And it is best used for defensive purposes at close range. And so here I go. I get the pistol out of the case, and I go out there. And in spite of you all been corrupted, because you saw guys like Audie Murphy and Roy Rogers jump off a horse and get behind a rock and shoot a guy 400 yards away. It don't work like that. And so I get this pistol out. I promise you, it don't work like that. And so I'm walking out here, and all of a sudden these quail, fire. And I go, down. Do you know how many quail I'm going to kill? None. Because that was not made to quail hunt with. So, okay, well, I'll go over here and visit Tiffany. Now, it says here, it says rifle, 300 Win Mag. Okay, that's what kind of rifle I use. And so, say, okay, the pistol didn't work, Tiff, so I'm going to use your rifle. Okay? So I get your rifle. Now I've got a long gun, but it's got a scope on it. And it shoots one bullet really fast and kicks really hard. Okay? And so I go out here, now I've got a long gun because they aim better. Now, with this gun, you could shoot something 200 yards, 300 yards, 400 yards. I killed an elk one time, almost 500 yards with it. And so I'm down here and say, yeah, now. And they fly up, and all of a sudden, boom! Everywhere. And you try to look through the scope, and you can't see Roger's got shotgun. Now, shotgun or stuff. know what? You need to be specific. Did anybody ever buy a shirt, men, that said one size fits all? It ain't so. Can you imagine? All right, you all sit there. Just lay those there, and you can go back. Thank you. Give them a good hand for helping me. Okay. Now, Jeff, come here. Jarrett, come here. John, come here. You guys stand up here. Now, could you imagine if we were going shopping? And I'm going to buy a pair of pants. I'm going to buy three pairs of pants. And I'm going to go buy a pair that says one size fits all. John, if they fit him, you're going to have the belt up around your neck. I remember once we went to Guatemala, and one of the guy's clothes didn't come. His luggage got lost, and he borrowed a pair of breeches, and he was a pretty good-sized guy, and so help me, I thought he had deck pants on. When I got there, he was wearing work pants that hit him right below the knee, and had them all wadded up around here. Now, I don't care what it is, one size don't fit all.
Right.
Thanks, guys. So you understand. But you know what we do? We're in battle. Yeah, give them a good hand for helping. We're in battle tonight. We're in battle tonight. But instead of praying in the Spirit, instead of praying it through in the Spirit, we just go out there and say, devil, the Word of God's against you. Devil, the Word of God's against you. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm standing on the Word of God. He can't defeat me. I'm standing on the Word of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I've got my Bible. Help me, help me, help me. And we mean well. We mean well. I'm not making fun of us. We're desperate a lot of times. And we grab for everything that we can think of. But it's better to go according to knowledge than just according to feeling. And that Paul wants us to understand, when you are in a life and death struggle, what you need to do first, pray in the Spirit. Mark 13:10, Jesus said, and the gospel must first be published among all nations, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand. Now listen to this. Take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, for whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but what? Now I know he's talking about when you're drunk before the tribunal. He's not talking about, I've heard people even quote that as far as preaching. Don't study, don't have nothing to, just get up and God will give it to you. That is not even what he's talking about. Amen. And don't take that out of, but notice what he did say. When you're in trouble, it is the Holy Spirit going to be speaking, not you. And I want to tell you, that's why, first and foremost, if you're in a battle, learn to get down and pray in the Spirit with your Bible. And while you're praying, a lot of times God will direct you to a certain portion. And you don't need to just open your Bible and put your finger in. And then sent the king an answer unto Rehum the chancellor and to Shimshai the scribe and the rest of the companions that dwell in Samaria and unto the rest beyond the river. Now that's not going to help much. And if that's the method you use, It's not going to help you get your sword. But you get down and you begin to pray in the Spirit. And while you're praying in the Spirit, there'll be an unction within you. And He'll direct you to a portion of Scripture. You may not even recall where it is. That's why you ought to have your Bible and a real good concordance with you. Do you hear what I said? A real good concordance. Now, commentaries are fine, but don't go to prayer with a commentary. Go with your Bible and a concordance. You may want to run some references later. You may want to read some commentaries later. But I'm telling you, this preacher is telling you tonight, go to prayer with your Bible and a good concordance. And there'll be things that the Spirit will breathe into you. And you'll say, oh, but I don't know where that Scripture is. Look it up. Find it. And then when you begin to find it, compile it. Get you a notebook and begin to write notes down. This Scripture and this Scripture and this Scripture. You know what you're doing? The Holy Ghost is building a sword into your hand. And when you come up from that kind of prayer, you're going to have something that you can use. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing us defeated. I'm tired of seeing us get slaughtered. I'm tired of seeing us overcome. I want to see victors. I want to see conquerors. I want to hear testimonies of victory and not defeat. Then I say, after praying in the Spirit, I say, pray it through in the Spirit. Now, you may not understand that, unless you've been there. But you can pray something through in the Spirit. I can remember a whole bunch of them, I have a little thin, ultra-thin Bible that I usually carry if I just go to revival somewhere because it's real light. And it's the entire Bible, but it's ultra-thin. And I remember a particular time in a particular battle when everything stood in my face and said, no, this miracle's not going to be birthed. And one morning before daylight in the basement, all by myself, not another person in the house, in the basement in a little workshop, I was walking the floor and praying with my Bible, Logos, in my hand. And all of the sudden, praying that thing through. I prayed in the Spirit. I prayed over it. I prayed with worry. I prayed with fear. I prayed with, God, I don't know how in the world you're going to do it. I prayed all of those kind of things until I began to pray in the Spirit and I prayed the thing through. And when I prayed the thing through, the Lord prompted me with a Scripture and I laid that little ultra thin on the workbench. The verse, and then I wrote the situation so that I would always remember it. I just used like two key words or something so I would always remember back to that instant. But when I come out of that basement, I was as low as you could be. I was down as low physically as I could get in that house. I was down in the basement. But I promise you, when I come up the steps, I had the Bible, the same Bible I carried down, Brother Hurst, but I came up with a rhema. I didn't come up with the whole Bible. I come up with a rhema. I had a verse Brother Ed, and when I walked out of there, I come up there reading that verse, quoting that verse, and I got in my vehicle and headed to church, and I said, it's a new day, because, and here's the verse of Scripture. That verse had always been there, but that morning God breathed. He gave me a sword, and when the devil attacked me with doubt and with fear and scared half to death, I kept that verse out and I said, no, devil, the Bible says. I got a rhema word on it. Somebody tonight needs a rhema word for your situation. You've been trying to hold the Bible up. You've been trying to hold the entire Logos up. And that will not defeat the devil. God wants to breathe you a rhema word. And I'm telling you, maybe you've been waiting, you want somebody to... I feel like this. I'm just talking to you now. Somebody's been waiting on somebody to give it to you. The Lord said to you tonight, and I tell you, He wants you to pray it through.
You've been running around every which way, wanting somebody to give you a word.
God's got a word for you, but He wants you to pray it through. You hear me tonight? He wants you to pray it through. Hallelujah. Well, pray it through in the Spirit. And then number three, open your ears to hear. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Seven times in the next few verses, he will say that again and again and again until seven times. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. It's not enough to have ears. You've got to hear what the Spirit's saying. That's why I said, stay there until you pray it through. That's old-fashioned. I when I left here Wednesday, I drove down Interstate 75, and I got down. I hit rain right after Lexington. And the further south I got, down around Berea, there were trees down, limbs, London, and at Corbin, I decided, now this, now you just listen. I really felt like I needed to stop and see my Aunt Thelma. And for about 40 miles, I said, I really don't have time, but I'm going to stop and see Aunt Thelma. And when I got to London, had about 10 more miles to go, all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is Wednesday night, Thelma will be at church. That's stupid for me to stop. It's Wednesday night, she'll be at church. And I kept feeling like that, though. And I thought, and I actually said this out loud, I said, Lord, this is stupid to me, but it's your word. I'll do it. And so I pulled off at the Corbin exit, run down, got on the Dorothy Road, went around, went by Dorothy Holiness Church, and there's only two cars there. It was 8 o'clock. I said, well, maybe they changed church nights. A couple men out walking around. I didn't recognize either of them. I just drove on by and went around the curve and pulled into Thelma's house. I parked and got out, and there's tree limbs everywhere, and she come out on the porch, and she is looking to see who that was, and she saw it was me. She said, why, law, children, there's Jimmy, honey. I said, Aunt Thelma, why aren't you in church? She said, why, Law, where you been? Honey, we had a terrible tornado through here. And our electric just now come back on. And so she wasn't in church. The Spirit of the Lord was right. It wasn't a problem. She said, come on in. She said, you want me to fix you something to eat and all this? And And I said, no, I just got to stop. I just felt like I wanted to stop a few minutes. So we talked a little bit. And I got ready to go. And she said, would you pray for me? She said, I'm really down in my knee. And the doctor said it's a severe arthritis and something's wrong with my arm and I can't. The last few days I haven't been able. She just kind of let it hang. And I said, well, sure. And she started standing. I said, no, you just sit in your chair. And I got over there and got on my knees in the living room and, you know, on the floor there and just, okay, just going to pray for her. So I got down there. I said, oh, Lord. And I just reached my hand over to touch Thalma's head. And she is a prayer warrior. Dear Lord. I was like going to do a hospital prayer. She come out of that chair. It scared the daylights out of me. She come out of that chair shouting and talking in tongues. I mean, she come out of that chair shouting and I, it was the Lord touched her. It sure wasn't. There was no... I was just praying. I thought, well, Lord, this is why you had me stop, was to just come here and be a little comfort to my Aunt Thalma. And she, and just to be a comfort to her and to pray with her and kind of, you know, make her feel better. She had already been praying. She'd been seeking the Lord all afternoon. She didn't get to go to church and get prayed for. She'd been praying that some way God would touch her church, but a tornado cut the lights off and there wasn't none. But He did tell me to stop by, and I'd like to tell you I walked in there with great faith and power. I did not do it. I went in there just because I knew the Lord. I didn't want to even stay. It just delayed me in getting down the road. But I felt like that's where God wanted me. But when I touched her, it was her faith touching Him. She had already prayed it through in the afternoon. She was disappointed that she couldn't make it to church. But God brought church to her little trailer house. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit touched her. And she just had a fit in the living room. Amen. And I'm just saying all of that to say this. God knows what He's doing. Somebody here needs to know you need to pray it through. And He's going to give you a rhema. He knows where you're at. He knows the disappointment. He knows the mountain. He knows your lack. But my God is able to supply all of your needs. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. I was going to give you some instances, some cases that you may, if you're under attack, if you're sick, and then give you God's word on it. But I'm not even going to do that. Just stand up. Because I really feel like the Lord wants you to pray it through. Instead of taking a scripture I give you, He's going to give you one of your own. Would you just pray all over this house right now? Pray all over the house, please. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? My God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power can do.
you need a rhema word, get out of your seat and come and stand across the front up here. You know good and well you need a rhema word. You don't need what everybody else is saying. Leave us room to pray. Leave us room to walk back and forth. Step back and make a line across here. Amen. You don't need whatever. You don't need to listen to a bunch of talk. You don't even need to do a lot of figuring it out. You need to pray it through. I got a word for you tonight. Here you go. You want a word from God? Here's a word from God. Zip your lip as far as talking to everybody and pray it through. Zip your lip as far as talking to everybody and pray it through. My God knows where you're at. He knows what you have need of before you even ask it. He's able to give you a rhema word tonight, right here where you're at. Lift your hands and begin to believe God. Come and help us pray.